Hey folks, welcome to the first inaugural initial starting
celebratory
show of the Emerald Archer podcast. My name is Ed.
And I am Nick.
And for the show, we're going to be talking about the appearances of the Earth One Emerald Archer, Green Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to start from way back in the beginning. 1958 is where we're going to start. So, but before we get into that, Nick, you said that we have some feedback already.
Yes, before we could even get our first episode out, a Mr. Johnny Freeberg posted on our Facebook page called The Emerald Archer. That is the name. He posted, looking forward to this, and I'm glad you're looking forward to it because me and Ed are also looking forward to doing it.
Yes, yes, quite a bit. And Johnny, it looked like Freeberg to us. If it's Freiberg, we apologize. I don't personally know anybody with the last name to know exactly how it's pronounced, so hopefully Freeberg. If not, let us know.
Just correct us.
I also want to drop to you guys a couple places on the internet that I get a lot of the background information as far as scripts and pencil and inkers and stuff like that that might not be listed in the book because a lot of these anthology books, they don't list that in the book. I use the Grand Comic Database online, and I use DCIndexes.com. The DCIndexes.com is what we're going to be using to determine the order of the books that we'll be talking about as we go through.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Okay, folks, today we're going to talk about three comic books. We're going to talk about Adventure Comics number 246. Adventure Comics number 247, and World's Finest Comics number 94.
All right, so starting out with Adventure Comics 246, that was published in March 1958. The Green Arrow story is the third story in the book, and that was scripted by its signed France Heron, but I have found out that that was a pseudonym used by Ed Heron. Pencils and inks were by Mr. George Rapp, and the title of this story is The Rainbow Archer.
So, appropriately named. Almost, actually. Almost appropriately named.
Why almost?
Because he wasn't a complete rainbow.
Oh, well, no, that's true. That's very true. It was like Rainbow Minus One.
Yes.
Which is red, orange, violet, seven. So it's six.
Yes.
Mr. Six Colors Archer. Instead.
Because rainbow is not politically correct.
Right. No, not anymore. Actually, leaving out the one color is what's not politically correct.
Exactly. So, because it doesn't make it a rainbow if it doesn't have that one missing color.
Right. All right. So, story opens here. We have kind of a splash page of Green Arrow and Speedy fighting another gentleman firing arrows that seem to be a little bit more colorful, trailing colors, kind of like almost like fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Standing on a rainbow over top, arching over top a city. The actual story opens with Mr. Albrecht Raines painting in his studio, and he's doing, I believe you would call it fine art. He's painting a live model. Then we see Albrecht go to his night gig, which apparently is counterfeiting. He's talking to one of his men about a new run of bills. We can't really tell the denomination.
Yeah, he says it right here. He says, how's the new fiver, boss?
Oh, fiver. Yeah, you're right.
So they're counterfeiting fives.
Fives, which makes sense. I always thought if I was going to counterfeit, I would do ones because they never look at ones.
Exactly. 20s are obvious. That's one of the numbers that people are going to counterfeit. So counterfeit something that's not as obvious to everyone else.
Right. And the bigger bills, of course, they check.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But, you know, a dollar bill, maybe they check them on occasion, but I've never seen.
I have not either. They don't even have that cloth magnetic strip on it like the bigger bills do.
Oh, do the ones not?
Mm-hmm.
I've never looked. Well, then there you go. It sounds like ones are the ones to counterfeit. All right, so they're inspecting their latest run of presses there, and somebody knocks on the door, and the press man just walks up to the door and opens it, and lo and behold, standing there are heroes, Green Arrow, and Speedy.
Very geniusly, because there's no buff guy at the door with the little sliding,
right,
like in a speakeasies or something, you know?
Asking for a password.
Yeah.
Or like that. And there was no peephole.
Nope.
Even that, there was nothing. There was just the door.
Let's just open it to the superheroes.
Right. So they get in. They basically take down the gang as they try to escape and turn Mr. Raines over to the police. As the police are taking him to the headquarters, apparently they're passing by the waterfront. I don't know why they would do that unless the headquarters was near the waterfront, because
it would be the only reason.
I've never seen a police station set near the waterfront.
It's no.
Always in town.
In the city somewhere.
Yeah, so. But they happen to be going by the waterfront, and Albrecht takes the opportunity to jump out of the car and hides down in the water under a pier, looks like.
Of course, because the doors wouldn't be locked either, or there wouldn't be any cops, you know, chasing after him.
Right. The doors weren't, no reason to lock the door, no reason to handcuff him.
Exactly. None at all.
Although, you see in this one, before he jumps out of the car, he is handcuffed.
Where? Oh, yes, he is, isn't he?
But as he jumps out of the car, his arms are free.
Conveniently.
So, somehow in the car, he got out of the cuffs before he jumped out. So then, the story cuts to several nights later. We see a gentleman, don't necessarily recognize him just from the picture, but he's a little more snappily dressed in a much more colorful outfit, talking about, or thinking about being the Rainbow Archer, and how the Green Arrow stopped his crimes before, and it definitely solidifies that this is Albrecht again.
Mm-hmm.
After he's escaped, and he has taken on the guise of this, what he is calling the Rainbow Archer, except, as we stated up front, it's not a complete rainbow because of Green Arrow. He has a dislike for the color green, so he won't have any green in his arsenal.
Here we go. I'm going to use the word it's a really good word. He omitted green.
Green, yes, he did. So he gathers some of his gang there, and they go outside. He's showing them what their new gig is going to be. Basically, they don't believe that he's going to be able to pull off crimes as some kind of archer. Although I'm sure they realize that an archer can stop crime, but they don't think that an archer can commit crime.
Yes, of course, it doesn't work both ways.
So. He shows them by firing a red flare over the harbor, which I guess means that their headquarters is somewhere there in the waterfront harbor area.
Are you talking about the police?
No, I'm talking about the
gang.
Rainbow Archer, yeah.
Oh, yes, you're right.
They just
step outside the front door and shot it over the harbor.
As an example. Yeah. So they shoot a flare over the water, and red is the international signal danger, he tells his gang. And so any active police patrols on the harbor head towards the area where that flare went off, because it's a help sign.
Are you not seeing the same thing that I am, though? He hopped out his front door and he shot it over the harbor, but he's getting on a boat on the harbor.
Yeah, they ran on down the dock somewhere.
Okay.
You know, maybe they're still in a warehouse, and the warehouses are always, like, right there with ships, usually just docked right there in front of them, almost.
Yeah.
So they run on down to a ship to try to loot with all the police attention focused somewhere else. Rainbow Archer and his gang are up on the deck, and Green Arrow and Speedy are flying by in the what we will come to find out is the Aerojet.
Aeroplane.
Or
because it was a clever play on words.
A-R-R-O.
Yes.
A-E-R.
A-I-R.
A-E-R.
Is it A-E-R?
I mean, airplane is A-I-R, but I've seen arrow.
Oh, okay.
As
yeah, because I was talking about airplane, like a commercial.
Airplane.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't think yeah, they suspect these guys are up to something, but they don't necessarily know that they're, you know, going to be doing something until the Emerald Archer goes ahead and takes the opportunity to fire an arrow at them.
Mm-hmm.
And it lights up the sky with a nimbus of bright lights, kind of in a rainbow shape, but they're not all the colors of the rainbow.
Yellow and white.
And it knocks out their...
It doesn't blind them. It's just too bright for them to see outside
their
of the light.
Kind of thing.
Yes.
And so they kind of veer off to get away from the light in the aeroplane. And then when they come back to the ship, whoever that was, the gang or whatever, they're gone. So they got away while the plane was diverted.
Yes.
Speedy and Green Arrow talk about, you know, Speedy calls him the Rainbow Archer, which I guess he just threw that out there. And Green Arrow kind of surmises that the Albrecht Reigns dude that escaped must be back as the Rainbow Archer.
Which is a very bold assumption there.
Yeah.
Plus, calling him the Rainbow Archer, I mean, it's a good name, but like we said, green isn't in there, which means it makes it not a rainbow, which I guess Rainbow Archer would be a little bit more convenient and shorter than, hey, look, it's the multitude of colors guy who's almost a rainbow but doesn't have green.
Right. Archer.
Archer, yes.
Yeah, so. All right, so we see back the next day the gang and the...
Continue.
And the Rainbow Archer, they're back together. And the Archer is laying out his next plan to the group. Again, you know, he's going to be using some kind of trick arrows, only this time to rob an armored car. And the guy's like, one of his men questioned him, how in the world do you use arrows against an armored car? And he says, well, I'm going to use an amber
lighting one. Yes.
And even more, the guy is stumped. How in the world is an amber light going to stop an armored car? We cut back to probably about that same time that night, and we see Green Arrow and Speedy in their alter egos, which is Oliver Queen for Green Arrow and Roy Harper for Speedy, changing into their superhero uniforms, getting ready to head out on patrol.
Like I pointed out before, the whole green wallpaper.
Yes, the room is in green.
Yes.
So, well, why not? He's green. He must like green.
And I believe he's putting on a green shirt, too. Or that might be his costume that he's taking off. I'm not sure.
Well, I think he's putting the costume on. They're getting ready to head out.
To go, yeah.
Yeah. So then the story cuts to the Rainbow Archer as they're kind of hiding out of sight. A truck passes them. And the archer does indeed fire an arrow that is amber-colored, but the arrow is attached to or takes on the shape. However, it turns into an amber-colored detour arrow. And so he fires it in such a way that the truck detours onto a little dead-end alley, and then when the truck stops because it can't go any farther, the Rainbow Archer and his gang rush the truck to break into the truck to get everything out of it, except Green Arrow and Speedy were the ones driving the truck. So they hop out of the truck in turn to stop whatever nefarious plan is going to go down. And there's a confrontation. Green Arrow disarms a couple of guys that are holding pistols by shooting the arrows into the pistols, which I think is going to be a trademark for gun holders is mm-hmm. to shoot it
in the barrel.
Yeah.
And also, I'd like to point out, this reminds me of a Doctor Who moment, because I want to know how Speedy and Green Arrow were able to predict that the Rainbow Archer was going to see an armored car was coming through town that night, and he's like, hey, we're going to rob it. Or what if there's more than one armored car, and he doesn't know which one to rob?
Right.
Or they don't know which one to hop in to keep him from robbing.
Right, which one... Where's he going to be that this is the armored car that's going to go by there?
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, that's a good point. It turns out that they just decided to take Anne or the armored car and patrol in it, just to, like, take a shot to see if he was going to...
Kind of like bait, I guess.
Kind of, but, I mean, you know, they could have missed completely. They could, on the other side of town.
Yeah, they just robbed... That's exactly what I was thinking.
That's always what they go for, are jewelry stores.
Who robs banks anymore? I mean, come on. No.
Okay, so all the gang is captured by Green Arrow and Speedy. The Rainbow Archer gets away, and he's running. But as he's running, he keeps noticing these green flaming arrows that are not being fired at him, but almost are like alerting
kind of like
people that something is going on because they see the big green light.
Kind of like tracing the route that he's going.
Yeah,
on either side. So
it's like he's following him or something like that. So he sees these and he's worried that these green flame arrows are going to lead the authorities to him. So he decides, well, I'll fire a green flame arrow in another direction to kind of lead them off. And then he realizes, well, wait, I don't have any green arrows of any kind.
So because he omitted green.
Right, because of Green Arrow and everything. So while he's contemplating all this, Green Arrow and Speedy find him. Green Arrow basically surrounds him with these green flame arrows as, like, you know, I guess trying to make like a big light so that the authorities can see.
So they can come by and get him.
And the Rainbow Archer gets arrested and carted off by the police is pretty much where we end.
Speedy has a typical Robin attitude. Just the way he says in the second to last frame, right, G.A., because Green Arrow is so overrated, he has to abbreviate it.
What? That's so long.
Yes, G.A., way
Green
better.
Green Arrow, two syllables, mm-hmm. It's, you know, big difference.
Of course, makes perfect sense.
So, what'd you think about that one?
I think it was an original good start to Green Arrow's continuing appearances throughout comics. I think it was a nice place for him to start, a good storyline, a good ending, you know, the hero wins.
Yeah.
Just your usual good superhero comic.
Right, yeah. Good, typical, I think. I haven't read a whole lot of Golden Age stuff, but it's pretty standard for Golden Age, or wait a minute, 58? No, I'm sorry, Silver Age comics.
You've read Silver Age?
Yes, I've read Golden Age too, but yeah. Nick and I have talked, and you know. By the way, we didn't really say this up front, but just for all you folks out there that want the total information and upfrontness, Nick is my son.
So, I've been getting into comic books a lot, and we decided to start up our own Green Arrow podcast.
Yeah. So, the Silver Age stories are different from what we would read today. An X-Men or Avenger, or even Green Arrow, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little different reading.
Okay, so the second comic we're going to look at today is Adventure Comics 247, made in April 1958. The script is by France Herron, but I don't know what word you used. He goes
pseudonym.
Pseudonym. His pseudonym name or his pseudonym.
Pseudonym.
Okay, his pseudonym is Ed Herron.
Is France. His real name is Ed.
Okay, so his real name is Ed, and his pseudonym is France.
Right, yeah.
The pencils are by George Papp, and the inks are by George Papp. And the name of this comic is The 13 Superstitious Arrows.
If pseudonym doesn't stick, if it's too hard to remember, I've heard people use the word pen name.
Pen name.
Have you heard pen name?
Yes, yeah. I have.
A pseudonym is kind of a $3 word for that.
Doesn't Mike's Warriors person do it?
Yeah.
I think
the series that he's read has, like, I think three different
and they
female
just,
authors.
They go by one name.
Go by one name on those books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so the 13 Superstitious Arrows, they have... Yeah. It just looks like a cut to somewhere in the story on the front page where they have Green Arrow shooting an arrow into a mirror. And it has, I don't know if you noticed this, it has a 7 crack. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah,
It has a 7 crack in it from where he shot it. And there is a chandelier falling. And Speedy is trying to warn him. But Green Arrow realizes that Speedy's warning is necessary. He's like, oh, just cracked a mirror. Bad luck, you know. Goes with the 13 superstitious arrows. So the story starts. Speedy and Green Arrow are in a lawyer's office. A famous lawyer.
Which one doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's just a famous lawyer.
Yeah.
And the lawyer has given them 13 arrows that would normally cause bad luck that you've heard of. The Ace of Spades, Ladder, Black Cat, you know, all those. And the lawyer finally introduces himself as C.M. Hawkins' attorney. C.M. Hawkins' attorney. I messed up there.
No, his name
is C.M. Hawkins. I'm saying, like, I was saying that he was some C.M. Hawkins' attorney.
Okay, that's cool. He's an attorney.
Yeah, but his name is C.M. Hawkins. I was saying he was representing C.M. Hawkins.
Oh, okay.
So his name is C.M. Hawkins. He's the attorney for the late J.J. Brandon's. And apparently these 13 superstitious arrows are part of his client's legacy, which I'm not understanding how that would be part of a person's legacy. The client believed very deeply in superstition and bad luck and good luck, you know, four-leaf clovers, all that good stuff. He shows a picture. He's got voodoo pictures and dolls, masks, you know, shrunken heads all in his office. And C.M. Hawkins finally says, well, if you can defeat crime all night with nothing but these 13 superstitious arrows, my clients, I don't know why I couldn't think of that. My client has left you $5 million if you can complete this task.
To the charity of your choice.
To the charity of your choice. It's not for personal use.
Right, it's not for Green Arrow, but he gets to pick where it goes.
So they have to defeat crime with 13 unlucky arrows on Friday the 13th, which is your cliche superstitious unlucky day. So they have Oliver in his, it kind of looks like a penthouse almost. I don't know why I say that, but that's just the kind of feeling I get from it.
Okay.
And he's saying, Speedy, we've got to do this because we need to give that charity $5 million, which 53 years ago, right? That would have been worth, I mean, $5 million is worth a lot now.
Yeah.
But $5 million 53 years ago is a lot.
A lot of money.
So they have to take the lawyer around town in the arrow car, which is not as a good play on words as the aeroplane. And they have to take him around town, show him that they can defeat crime with these arrows. So they're doing their nightly patrols, and they see some guys who have just robbed a jewelry store. So Green Arrow thinks fast, and he says, let's shoot the ladder arrow. And you've heard it before. If you run under a ladder, it's supposed to be bad luck. So he takes the arrow, and he sticks it in a wall, and the ladder drops down in front of the jewelry thieves. And the ladder snags them, one by the neck, and it throws them into the other criminals, making it possible for Green Arrow and Speedy to subdue them.
Right.
I use that word correctly, yes.
Subdue.
Okay. Proud of myself
as
now.
As opposed to mount.
Aha, yes. Clever. I enjoyed the other one earlier see, it doesn't even make sense because you don't know the one I'm talking about.
Nah, off the top of my head. I throw so many out.
It is. Yes. Okay, so they've used one of the 13 arrows. I'm assuming, by the way, they're talking in the story that they're only allowed to use each arrow once. Is that the feeling you got?
Not initially. I mean, they didn't really. But reading the rest of the story, I guess so, because that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't reuse it. Apparently, the only arrows are these 13.
Yes.
Period.
That's
Once
it.
Once you use one, that's it. You can't. See, but you got to use them all.
Yeah, that's the feeling that I got.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm assuming it's still, it might not have been nighttime, but it looked nighttime, but now it's apparently daytime or so. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's still in the Friday the 13th.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
They're doing their patrols still.
In what? What are they patrolling?
In the Arrow car.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
So, now, two consecutive stories. We've seen the Arrow plane and the Arrow car.
Yes, but I pointed out that aeroplane or Arrow car is not a good play on words as aeroplane.
No. Yeah.
It just doesn't work as well. And I have to point out what the radio says, or the police scanner, as they're doing this. It says, calling all cars, look for a stolen sedan, license plate number 13692. Which is convenient, because you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that'll be important later on.
Yes. So remember that, 13692. Okay. And they're doing their patrols, and they see two hoodlums. Apparently they're goofing off, and they broke a store window. And Green Arrow points them out. He goes, here, there they are. So they say, oh yeah, we're going to run across this lake because it can't hold their car. So Green Arrow pulls out his salt shaker arrow, and he shoots it past the hoodlums in front of them. And the salt sprinkles out of the little salt shaker onto the ice of the lake, causing it to melt and having the hoodlums fall into the water.
Right. Everybody knows that salt melts ice.
Yes, of course. That fast, too. What is that, like 10 seconds?
Table salt. Oh, probably not even that. They were running. So,
it's
almost like right in front of them, so maybe a second or less. So, you know, sure.
That's some strong salt.
Hey.
And, let's see. I was going to mention something, but it totally... It just left me.
Maybe it'll come back to you.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll remember what I was going to say. I was pointing out that it was bad luck to run under the ladder, and it's bad luck to drop salt. And when you drop it, you're supposed to toss it over your shoulder, I think.
Something one, about that, yeah.
One shoulder or the other, I'm not sure.
You see cooking people do that. Whenever they use salt, they'll throw some over their shoulder. I don't
know. Yeah.
I'm not sure why.
Anne does that.
Yeah, and the one chick did it in the commercial and threw it into the dude's face.
The actress lady?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We watch a lot of cooking shows.
It's very entertaining. Okay, so apparently I told you wrong earlier. They started during the day.
Right.
So because now it says by nightfall. So they've used 6 of the 13 arrows, which means they have 7 left for you those math impaired. And they're still doing their patrols. And they see a guy hopping out of a window with a purse.
Wow.
He's got a Scooby-Doo face. You know, the classic bandit is what I see.
Yeah.
So he's running down the street. And is it Speedy's idea to use? Okay, no. Green Arrow said, I'm going to pull out the Black Cat arrow. And he pulls it out, and he shoots it in front of the guy, and the guy doesn't see because it whizzes by so fast, and he trips over it. And apparently, when you walk adjacent or in front of or across the path...
It's bad luck for a black cat to cross your path.
Okay, so it's bad luck for a black cat to cross your path. So they take a black cat arrow and put it in front of the guy's feet, and while he's running down the street, he doesn't see it, and he trips over it, and allows Green Arrow to catch him.
The black cat crossing his path was bad luck for him.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Later, the Arrow car suffers a flat tire, which... Okay. you didn't think they would have some other form of transportation, you know?
Well, but it amuses me to think, oh, well, Green Arrow and Speedy are going to get out of the car and roll up their sleeves and change the tire. Yeah, I mean, sure. Who else is going to do it? There's like no.
They don't have a butler like Batman.
Well, there's no superhero AAA, so somebody's going to do it. You know, I mean, it's like okay, that makes sense.
So they've got their car jacked up, and Not in the cool way. Not like a cool jacked up. Like you, they have it jacked off the ground. Okay, that's more specific. They have it jacked off the ground, and they see a guy with looks like a bag full of money.
Well, the lawyer here says four holdup men came out of the warehouse, so he recognized them as doing something somehow.
Okay. So they're hopping in this car, and Green Arrow is like, forget this tire, let me get out another arrow. So he pulls out his number 13 arrow with an ink pad on it that's a 13. And they shoot it at the car, and it hits the car, but it doesn't really show anything else. And they turn to the cops, catching these four criminals. And let me read this to you so you know where what I told you earlier comes into play. It says, remember that radio flash about a stolen sedan? Well, I added a 1 and a 3 to license plate 692. And I hope you guys recall that the license plate number they said to be on the lookout for was 13692. So they were looking for that car, and they found a license plate 13692, but it was a different one.
But they were still bad guys in this one.
They were, so they won either way. says he has used 11 out of his 13. Again, for you math impaired, that's two left. The broken mirror and Ace of Spades arrows are the only ones left, and they get the $5 million to their charity, and they really want that money for their charity. So, a guy calls over to their patrol car, which they obviously got their tire fixed.
Yes.
And he says, help, they're stealing box office receipts, which explained what...
That's the money that they took in for a show. It's called the receipts.
Oh, okay, yes. I was thinking, like, proof of purchase receipt, right, and they're stealing, yeah.
Yeah, no, they call that money because they received it, I guess, so mm-hmm. They call it receipts.
Okay. So... Speedy points out, hey, they're going toward the exit, you know, and they were planning on standing in the middle of the room wanting to be captured, you know, so Speedy's sitting here pointing out the obvious, and Green Arrow runs up, and he says, I'm going to get out the broken mirror arrow, so he pulls out the broken mirror arrow, and he hits a mirror that the villains happen to run by, and... As this mirror, like, explodes or something, I'm not exactly sure, pieces of glass fly up in the air and cut the cords on a chandelier. The chandelier crashes down in front of the thefts. Yes, of course, the thefts.
Yes, indeed.
The chandelier falls down in front of the thieves. All the light bulbs break at the same time and... temporarily blind them, causing Green Arrow to capture all of them. Yes, capture all of them. And this guy's like, we give up. I don't... This C.M. Hawkins guy told us to prevent you from catching us so he could get the $5 million and embezzle it. And... The lawyer says, you loose-tongued fool, which, man, that hurt my feelings reading that. That was painful.
Ouch.
So, C.M. Hawkins, I hope I get that guy's name right. I think I'd have it.
Yeah, because it was J.J. something else.
J.J.
was the dead dude.
I want to say Abrams, but I don't think that's right. I think that's some famous guy in Hollywood.
Yeah, he did. He directed Super 8.
Yes, exactly.
J.J. Abrams.
So... The lawyer's like, you're a loose-tongued fool, and I'm getting out of here. So he hops in the Arrow car, which that would have never happened if they wouldn't have replaced the tire.
And left the keys in.
Yes. They need to have something cool like a thumbprint starter, you know?
Yeah, biometric.
Yes.
Lock.
Something. Yeah. It has to pick up two people in the car, one dressed in green, one dressed in orange, or something, you know, yeah. Something. So he hops in the Arrow car, and Green Arrow, like, he gets out the Ace of Spades arrow, and if you ask me, that's the one he's going to be the best at, since it most resembles a regular arrow. So he pulls it out, and He shoots a gigantic litted, yes, litted, up horseshoe. That's going to be the word of the show. I declare it. Do you second that?
Thefts
and yes. Litted. The thefts and litted. Yes. Yes. Multiple words of the show. Okay, I apologize. And the arrow car is driving down the street, and fast thinking, Green Arrow pulls out his Ace of Spades arrow, shoots the pole holding it straight up? Because yeah. I thought it was on the side of the building.
Well, that's what you would think, but it's holding it up over, in front of the building, up over the street by a cord.
Of course.
Yes.
So they have a gigantic horseshoe hanging over the road. Green Arrow shoots the cord, causing the gigantic horseshoe to fall at the same time that the lawyer is driving under it, causing him to get pinned down. I'm sitting here talking with my hands as I'm doing this.
It's like, well, they can't see your hands, so that's okay.
Yeah, it's like a cooking podcast. It doesn't really work.
Right, so
and there are. And the horseshoe pins the car down. Green Arrow is, talking his witty smack. That's right. What irony. The lucky horseshoe, which symbolizes good luck, will give Hawkins a jail sentence. So, Green Arrow and Speedy get their $5 million for the charity of their choice. The lawyer goes to jail. And they didn't even cheat with the arrows either. They used them all once.
And even whoever takes care of signs in the city has a job tomorrow to
exactly.
Put that horseshoe back up.
And someone's going to get fed because he's getting paid.
Maybe secure it to the building this time instead of just hanging it over the street.
Exactly. Very safe. It's not a hazard or anything. So, what did you think of this one?
It was okay. I liked the first story a little bit better. This one just... The premise behind the story just seemed more of a reach to me. It just wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of like my superhero comics to be superhero-y.
Yes.
And this wasn't very superhero-y to me. There was no, like, major villain. Wasn't even really a villain that was up to Green Arrow's caliber.
It's just a bunch of regular Joes trying to do your regular villain crimes.
Kind of gimmicky as far as how you have to stop them and all that kind of. So mm-hmm. It's like, well, you know, it's entertaining. Who knows? The rainbow. Sorry, that was last one.
Mm-hmm.
This may pop up again sometime in Green Arrow. You know, remember that time we had to use the Ace of Spades arrow?
Yes.
And we'll have read it. We can say, oh yeah, I remember that.
This is a good one to read to your children on Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah. To put them to sleep.
Yes. So. Oh.
Sorry.
What?
Catty?
That was retract the claws
kind of
over there.
Catty.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, sorry about that. not meaning anything disparaging to all my black cat friends out there.
Word.
I like all cats.
Homie.
So.
Gee, wow.
Well,
okay, let me put it this way. Okay. What would your rating be on a 5-star scale?
2.
Oh.
Mm. Although the first story probably would have only gotten about a 3.
Okay, so we're not doing that much worse.
Yeah. For both of these stories, and I believe the next story as well, the art is just kind of, it's a little more simple than I like. It doesn't have to be really realistic or complex kind of artwork, but I like a little bit more than what they're giving here.
Well, like they did in this last one that I'm looking at, the front, like the leader, you know who I'm talking about because I don't want to ruin anything right now, is all detailed, but then his minions, I was about to say munchkins, his minions, like everything's tan.
Yeah.
Their skin, their clothes, their lantern, and then, you know, everything.
All right, so the third and final book we're discussing today is World's Finest, issue 94. It is the May-June 1958 issue. The Green Arrow story is the fourth multi-page story. It's the next to last story. There's a couple that are just single pages in there. Mm-hmm. It was scripted by Mr. Ed Heron, pencils and inks by George Patton. So basically all three of these stories were by Ed Heron, and all three were penciled and inked by George Papp. although two of the stories were in one book, and this one is in a separate book.
Yes, a different, yeah. Yeah, go ahead and start, because I got to ask you a question when we get started, if you know what it means.
Okay. All right. This the world's finest magazine. Actually, so is Adventure. These are both anthology magazines, obviously, because we're telling you which story was the Green Arrow story. The World's Finest is noted probably most for being an anthology book that had stories that teamed Batman up with somebody else.
Which they regularly turned into a TV show.
It ran, yes, The Brave and the Bold. Right? Yeah.
Brave that didn't Bold. Even make sense. They regularly turned into a TV show. That doesn't even...
which is still running today. I don't know if any are currently coming out or if it's kind of on the in-between seasons hiatus. But it is still a TV show that is still active. They're putting out.
So. It's a good Saturday morning cartoon. You should buy the DVD.
Yeah, Batman, and because they bring in all these different heroes, you get to see the different heroes in the DC universe.
Yes.
So if you like, have kind of a favorite, you can watch, hoping to see your favorite.
Like Flash, when he had the... looked like he was wearing a pot on his head.
Oh, yeah, the Silver Age or the Golden Age Flash. Or Golden Age?
I can research that.
I forget which one. Maybe Silver Age?
It's a little off-topic, but...
But, okay, this story involves the Rocket Raiders, and that probably is as good a title for it as any.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of see a splash page for what they're doing. They're trying to take up space, but also trying to conserve it because they only have probably 8 or 10 pages.
Golden Age,
Flash Age, with the helmet with the wings on the side.
Yes.
And this splash page, half a page here, has a rocket with 5 guys on it, and it's being pursued behind and off to the side a little bit by another missile rocket looking thing with Green Arrow and Speedy on it. Chasing them by all appearances.
Is that what you call it? When it like skips ahead into the story a little bit, kind of like a snapshot? You've called it a splash page twice?
No, the splash page is the technique of doing it this way in art, in the comic book.
What do you mean?
Like a splash page is like a large part or a whole page that's just meant to kind of get your attention.
So, is that what they did on the other one where they showed him breaking the mirror?
Yeah, but that was a much smaller frame.
Do you know what the word is for that?
Off the top of my head, no. I'm not sure what the splash page is the closest technique. There's a storytelling word for it.
One of you guys out there should send us in the answer.
That word's not.
That'll be our first task.
All right, so the story opens with four guys dressed interestingly with some funky helmets on. It looks like the helmets have kind of a fin on the top of it.
With an awkward gun.
Dealing with this device that looks like a big drill that's pointing up into the air, and the leader is chomping on a cigar here. And they set this thing up. And then he presses a button, and it fires what looks like a rocket with a big drill tip on it into whatever's above him, the ceiling, the roof. The
floor of a different room upstairs.
Yes, it turns out to be they're underneath the floor of a safe. So they get up into the safe, and then either because they're just on their way out, I guess it looks like they blow the door on the safe. And as Green Arrow and Speedy are swinging by on patrol, they hear the sound of that explosion.
Now, a good criminal would have done that silently.
Well, yeah.
Like, or suppressed explosions.
Or go back down the hole that you just...
Yeah, because you got there somehow. There's no reason to create another entrance.
Yeah, so story. You know, they got to do something to get the story going.
Yep. Not going to fight it.
You can't complain too much. And as they're, you know, as these bad guys, we see a little bit more. They've got a blue uniform. Again, they've got the finny helmet, but on their belt they've got little rockets. Looks like little, a little bit of rocket. They notice that Green Arrow and Speedy are coming at them. Green Arrow and Speedy fire arrows, which is
their thing.
Their thing. It's what they do. And you see that their arrows are stopped by these two missiles, apparently. We see that one guy was pulling one off his belt, so I assume that he, like, threw them and managed to hit those arrows, which is a heck of a throw.
Yeah. Plus, as fast as he would have had to realize that they were shooting, too.
Those arrows don't come at him slow.
No.
So, the bad guys get away, they jump in their car, and Speedy and Green Arrow jump in the arrow car, and as everybody takes off, the bad guy's car is, like, rocket-propelled. It takes off, like, times faster and just zooms away, and that's what they say on the panel here, zoom. So they zoom away and they get away. After they finish their patrol, Green Arrow and Speedy are talking about it, and Green Arrow coins the term Rocket Raiders for these guys.
Very appropriate.
Dealing with a gang of Rocket Raiders. Ollie is just, he's kicking with the name.
I know.
You know, he got the Rainbow Archer going. And now the Rocket Raiders. So
he's witty. He can come up with it like that.
So we see later on that night, we see the bad guys pull up to a house again. Water looks like they're on the shores of the ocean or of a big lake or something, but not on the docks. It's just a house.
Mm-hmm. On the seaside, shore. Yes.
And they take in their ill-gotten booty and they're dumping it out on a table. They got away with a bunch of money. And we see that the guy in the house is probably like the brains behind the operation. Because then he starts talking about how by using rockets and rocketry, nobody will ever be able to capture them. And I am the one that came up with that idea.
Yes. So
he's the leader. All the Rocket Raiders are his henchmen, apparently. The next night, the Rocket Raiders head out and take over a big airplane by landing a smaller ship on it, and then welding their way into the airplane. They're after some jewelry that one of the women on the plane is wearing. The crown jewels, they call them, which must be different from the crown jewels that are like over in England.
Of course.
So they knew that these were on this plane, so they specifically targeted this plane, got in, got the jewels, and once again, as they're attempting to make their getaway, they're spied by Green Arrow and Speedy. The Rocket Raiders jump into their rocket airplane and take off again, and this time, instead of zooming away, they swooshed away.
Swooshed.
Fat, which, again, is written on
the... No, that's not swoosh. That's swoosh.
Oh. My bad.
Plus, their identity is also being covered because Speedy, to Speedy, they're the Rocket Raiders. But if you look in the upper right corner, what does the lady call them?
Flying Saucer Man.
Yes, so now they're aliens.
They're the flying saucer, because that's the only way they could get on the airplane. Is if they.
Of course, because saucer. Nobody would ever be able to catch them if they were rockets. It's not possible yet.
So they've gotten away from Green Arrow and Speedy a second time. They go back to their base, the Arrow Cave.
That is very, very good.
In three stories now, we've seen the Arrow Plane, the Arrow Car, and now the Arrow Cave. Now, I don't know if this is the same place that we've been seeing, because the other place looked like an apartment or something
this
like
is,
that.
This is like a cobblestone.
But this says
building.
Arrow Cave. So
it could actually be a cave, possibly?
Well, it says Arrow Cave, so I guess it is.
I bet Speedy came up with all the names for these different transportations and living spaces.
Probably. I mean, he came up with the name Speedy, so...
But he secretly named Green Arrow also.
Nah, I think Green Arrow probably did.
It's a Doctor Who moment.
Well, maybe.
He gave him the idea before he had the idea.
Right. He went forward in time.
He went back in time and he told him, you're going to be the Green Arrow and someday you're going to meet a kick butt sidekick named Speedy and he's going to be amazing. And then he went back to the future.
When the time comes.
Yeah.
So in the cave here, there...
Lots of improv.
Absolutely, man. That's what makes ours better than any of the other Green Arrow podcasts out there.
Exactly. That's it.
This banter, we call it. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do to beat these guys. They're going to have to do some sort of rockety kind of stuff themselves, Green Arrow and Speedy. So they're working on their materials there in the lab. Green Arrow realizes that a boat called the SS Waterfowl is docking the next day with a cargo of gold bullion.
What is bullion?
Bullion is just...
Are those little like, cubes that you can put in water?
Yes.
You can make bigger chunks of gold by adding water to it?
Exactly. You can melt the gold and it flavors.
Exactly, yes. This tastes like it has high iron amounts.
Well, here's some gold bullion.
Yes.
cooking shows.
Pointless banter.
So he's wanting to get all the equipment tuned up because he figures these raiders are going to go after all this gold. And sure enough, that night when the ship is docked, the raiders attack the ship. But Green Arrow and Speedy are already there. And as they normally do, they fire a couple arrows to try to beat the bad guys. And as the Rocket Raiders do, they have loosed a couple little missiles at the arrows that blow up. They collide with the arrows and blow up. Only this time, when they do, the arrows don't stop. They keep going with these metal...
holders, possibly?
Well, they look like holders. Then over here, they do kind of look like little boxing gloves.
Yeah, that's what it says. Finally, to open into boxing glove arrows.
Boxing gloves and hit the two bad guys, knocking them out.
These are also more proportional. On Batman, the Brave and the Bold, they were full-size boxing gloves. He was like able to pull like three or four out of his little quiver. He was able to pull out of his little quiver that fit in there and shoot them. And these are only about the size of, I don't know, like three fingers, maybe? Two fingers?
Something like that. And so what they had done is they had designed some two-stage arrows. The first stage is what the missiles blew up, and then the second stage is what continued on to hit the bad guys. So, I'm sorry, these bad guys, they don't get knocked out, but they do get frightened. So they run away and jump back up on the ship. All the other bad guys are already on their little boat, and they get away. They're zooming away.
Zoop.
And Green Arrow and Speedy this time fire a couple rocket torpedo arrows that torpedo the ship, and I presume sink it, but not before they're able to get the Rocket Raiders off of the boat. And they arrest the Rocket Raiders and take them into custody. And so ends this episode, this issue. So
I noticed the artwork doesn't make sense in this last one, because it shows them shooting their rocket, or their arrow torpedoes. But it also shows two little ploops in the water and trails from where they already left.
Already have done it?
Yeah. You see it like...
Yeah, I've already...
Oh, you've already got it closed out, okay.
Yeah. Well, maybe they...
See? And then the two little ploops from where they've already gone in the water.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe those were backups.
Of course.
You know, the boat is going and they shoot a couple here, and in case they miss, they shoot a couple over here to get it. So those are still floating out there for somebody to hit with their boat.
Somebody's gonna
the other ones.
Yeah, the ones that didn't blow.
Yeah,
they're gonna some poor fisherman is gonna be out riding one day and he's just gonna lose his boat.
All right, those are the books that we wanted to talk about this episode to give you guys a little bit of heads up here as we round things out. Next show, hopefully, we're gonna talk about Adventure Comics 248 and 249, and then World's Finest Comics. Issue 95.
Oh, okay. If you guys would like to contact us at all, you can email us at earth1emeraldarcher@gmail.com. That's the number one, not the word one. earth1emeraldarcher@gmail.com. And we also have a Facebook page, which is just called The Emerald Archer, but I could have sworn you changed it to The Emerald Archer Podcast.
I think it's just Emerald Archer.
But right now, it's just The Emerald Archer, You can post, send us a message, just give us some kind of feedback if you want.
Yeah, feedback would be cool.
We enjoy feedback. Feedback would be cool. Like Johnny Freeberg or Johnny Freiberg, you might want to correct us again, I'm not quite sure, has already given us feedback. Even we haven't even put this episode out yet.
Yeah, so we definitely want to thank Johnny for the feedback. Also want to thank Mr. Derek Coward. He's the kind of the brains behind the Comic Book Noise Network, which is part of the Deliberate Noise Network.
He's the comic to my book.
We are the Comic Book Noise Network.
He's the peanut butter to my jelly.
So, we're not entirely sure what the website is going to be, but this will be posted on the Facebook page, which I imagine at this point is where people are going to get it from anyways for right now. So
he's the lightning bolt scar to my Harry Potter. He completes me.
Yeah, okay. Sorry about all that.
That's originality right there. You need to publish that, get it copyrighted and everything.
Do want to congratulate Mr. Coward on his upcoming new employment situation. Hope everything goes well with it.
Did
there.
He get a new job?
And until next time, which we didn't really talk about, we're not sure what next time is going to be. I think we're going to try to do these every couple weeks, make it a bi-weekly podcast. Hopefully, if everything goes well, we might try to get them in twice a month, but we definitely want to do twice a month.
Twice a month is a definite.
We'll be doing good.
Yeah.
So. And that's all for us today. Thanks for listening. You guys keep in touch, give us some feedback, and keep watching for the next episode. And we'll put one out as soon as we can. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, guys.
This is a Tune production.